Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How challenging is it to access mental health services across South Dakota? What are we doing well? Where are the gaps that need to be addressed? What's the cost to taxpayers? And how do public mental health services intersect with the private industry? The South Dakota State Legislature is conducting a summer study that includes a review of state mental health services. State Senator Deb Soholt represents District 14, and she joins us now with an update in the studio here. Thanks so much for coming by, Senator Soholt.
Thanks so much for having me.
I have been looking at some of the supporting documentation. You can find it all online at the Legislative Research Council website. There is so much here. This is a very important and very big topic, and they all are. But as you look through this, there's a lot of material. Give people an idea who haven't been following this, what exactly the reason is for doing this summer work now.
Well, thank you so much for raising this really important topic to the citizens of South Dakota. This is a really important topic, mental health. And I think as a legislator, we've been seeing and hearing, you know, there's gaps in between what's happening to access to mental health services for certain people. How are we spending our taxpayer dollars in relationship to mental health? There's issues of mental health between the criminal justice system and the health system. There are issues between the state and the health systems themselves. And I think what we're seeing, while a lot of work has been done in mental health over the years, we are now trying to really isolate the major gaps that remain and start to really think through in a thoughtful way, how can we look at public policy dollars that are really going to change things for the future? Not just talk about it, but actually look at what are the top priorities, and then what do we need to do in redirecting funding, or looking at a different way of funding, or looking at how do we take our current services and maybe adjust them somewhat and help them to better serve our citizens.
As you start this process and gather people together, what were some of the early lessons that you learned? There were some overviews of just, you know, let's all make sure we're using the right definitions, the same definitions. And then there's public input. What are some of the initial, themes that sort of came forward?
Well, you're absolutely right that we're just beginning.
Yeah.
And I have been honored to be the chairperson of this group. And my job is to make sure that we can host a conversation that walks us into what the issues are. So we're just beginning. We started with our first meeting last week, Thursday, in Pierre. It was a very full day because we were level setting what is going on with mental health services right now. And that leads to, of course, other kinds of questions. Governor Dugard actually had a mental health group back in 2011. And we looked at the recommendations out of that task force and what kind of progress have we made. And what's interesting is we've made quite a bit of progress with crisis response teams, what's happening within primary care, how patients, I'm a nursing background, so that patient word comes out, but how people would access the community mental health centers. Our next meeting, which is happening over a course of 2 days, August 6th and 7th, we're going to be visiting the Human Services Center in Yankton and also going to a community mental health center within the Yankton area. There are 11 different ones throughout the state. We are also then going to move up to Sioux Falls and take a look at that intersection of what happens between the court system and the jail system and the policing system within right. Sioux Falls, because we're the largest population center. And then take a look at how we intersect with county mental health boards and also the acute care inpatient and outpatient mental health services, because Avera Behavioral Health Services would have the largest inpatient health service. And we really only have three places in South Dakota where you can do inpatient, and that's in Sioux Falls, in Aberdeen, and out in Rapid City. It's very important for us to have public input. And so every meeting, and that's part of the reason we're moving around the state as a task force, is so that we can hear from people around South Dakota. So we're planning time within our agenda every time to hear from the public regarding input. But we have a lot of people to talk to, and we've done a lot of pre-work moving into the meetings to, I've told and instructed the task force, listen, we're not going to come up with any solutions until the end. We have to take the time to understand the scope of what's going on. And we're going to have to hold ourselves in a space of really understanding and being open and not preconceived about what we think should happen as a solution. So the first two meetings, and perhaps first three and a half, we will be data collecting, understanding the numbers, both qualitatively, like how do people feel, what's the input, and quantitatively, what are the numbers that drive us to a conclusion? And then we'll be taking a look at benchmark practices around the nation. What is showing promise in relationship to what other states have done? Where are we phenomenally successful and how can we move that aside? Look at our true gaps and what do we want to do to improve that? And then we will start talking about possible statutory change.
As you hear from people, what are some of those qualitative messages that you're hearing? People who came forward in the first meeting and said, this is either my situation or this is what I'm concerned about. What were some of those early themes?
We really only had one person that came forward publicly. We're hoping that more will as right. we start to move around the state. But we had one person that was talking about, for instance, transportation out of Rapid City to the Human Services Center, that it's both people that are in a mental health situation along with those that are in the criminal justice system without moving across the state because of the efficiency of transportation and how that is just not okay. That's just not helping people that have a mental health condition trying to get further help. We'll learn a lot when we go down to the Human Services Center.
Right.
Who's there? Why are they there? How long are they there? What kinds of situations can we look at where people can perhaps be where they're really at a risk to safety to themselves or others? How can they remain more in community? Although we heard a lot of good promise with crisis intervention teams that have happened in Sioux Falls, there's a crisis intervention facility in Rapid City and a crisis intervention team that's forming in Pierre. But we heard great promise how the number, high percentage, and I'm going to misquote it, but it's high, in the 70s, somewhere in there, of people that did not end up and they were talked through and didn't end up having to be in the criminal justice system, we were able to help them in the mental health system. So I think there's some really interesting themes that are going to help us, that are showing promise, that are respectful to people, that are helping people through a situation that they're in. We also heard not all people in the criminal justice system have mental health issues. So I think that was something that a psychiatrist came and said there are people that are doing bad things, but they would not have necessarily a mental health diagnosis. Right. So we're going to have to tease through all of that,
right.
come to overarching themes and conclusions. We also heard how important, you know, primary care screening and assessment is, and yet there is a great burden on primary care to screen for all kinds of things that exist. So we have to find ways that we can get the information that we need, but not just shift a burden to another system.
Right. Stepping back, those crisis intervention teams that you talked about, that's through a law enforcement perspective. Those, it seems to me that we talked with Supreme Court Chief Justice David Gilbertson about those teams at one point in the past. Is that sort of,
yes,
I'm
just
on the right track with my memory?
We just started preliminarily taking a look at those.
Okay.
We're going to have to do a deep dive into, you know, where do they come from? How are they formed? We got kind of a 10,000 foot level.
Right.
But yes, in Sioux Falls, those would be paid people that come together when there is activated by law enforcement.
Right.
When there is a situation where they feel someone is in a mental health issue, which I think really speaks to understanding what point of the continuum that person is on. So we'll learn more about that when we bring the group to Sioux Falls.
All right. And so what is the intersection between private, you know, you mentioned Avera Health, and then, you know, private versus public? That I think is confusing to people, whether there's just, private counselors. Are you studying access to, you know, therapists, or are you studying state resources?
Well, our primary focus is state resources,
right.
of course, and we're looking at the state system as a legislature. But certainly that state system intersects much with private, if you will. So if you think of a behavioral health hospital, they would be seeing Medicaid patients, which would be state paid. So we have to pay attention to all of that, and we will be looking at our workforce needs in relationship to county. Now, I say that with a caveat. If we started to go down how are we going to solve the behavioral health workforce issue, we could spend an entire summer study just looking at that. That said, we do have to understand where we at with psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, social workers, certified mental health counselors versus regular counselors. We've already asked for more information in relationship to that. And then I think we always have to be incredibly open to virtual responses. So we will be looking at how does virtual mental health happen? How can assessments happen by using technology and removing time and space so that certified, qualified people can be available anywhere in the state, not just in the larger population centers?
All right. So does Medicaid expansion become part of this conversation?
This is not about Medicaid expansion at all. and we will not be entertaining that. We will be looking at resources within current Medicaid that we are spending in relationship to mental health, and we will not be expanding to a larger cohort of people.
Right.
Now, I think that Medicaid expansion word is something that's really interesting, because sometimes you're talking about, we should never use it, quite frankly, because when we say Medicaid expansion, that means something to people in the country of, we are now expanding the access to that payment source to a whole new pool of people that have never had that access before. And I think that's where Medicaid expansion should be reserved for that conversation, because that's first top of mind that people think.
Right.
We may be talking about new kinds of services within the current Medicaid pool.
Okay.
So I would like to talk about it more as enhancements to the Medicaid program that we have.
All right.
That provides service to people that is more cost effective for the state, but the top priority is better for the people that we're trying to serve.
I see. Do you anticipate, I know you said, you know, we're not talking about solutions at this point at all. Do you anticipate looking at legislative, you know, a package of bills that's going to come forward? Is that on the table? Is that, you know, do you look ahead and say, we anticipate being able to do something with this information at the end of the study that's going to make changes?
I think the reality is, again, I don't want to be preconceived.
I know, I'm jumping ahead too.
but I think the reality is that if you really want new systemness to stick, it takes the force of law to make that happen. And then that requires statutory change.
Right.
But I don't know. Yeah. I'm staying very open at this point. And we're really just studying the current mental health statute. You know, where are there gaps? Some of it, maybe the statute's fine. It's just in the rulemaking we need to make some changes, or in how we are actually administering the program. So when I take on these subjects as a chair, my job is to host a conversation of depth and meaning. My job is to make sure that we have walked through and come to a new understanding together as a group on what is the truth of the matter.
Right.
And so it really is important that, and I've told my committee members, if you start going down the solution road, I'm going to say we're not there yet, and we're going to hold. It doesn't mean we won't end up there. And the other thing, how I like to work is more in consensus model, because if you can build a consensus amongst a large group of people, and we have a diverse group of legislators, both from the House and the Senate, representing both parties, if we can come to consensus versus a majority vote on certain things that we want to do, we will have a much stronger outcome in relationship to having it work for our state and a work product that people can get behind.
Deb Soholt, we have so much more to learn about this. We hope that you'll come back throughout this process and keep providing us insight to how it's going. And how can people provide input at this point if they want to find out where you're meeting in the future and they have something to add to the conversation?
We are staying very transparent throughout this whole process. We would love feedback from South Dakota citizens in relationship to this. They can do that by contacting the South Dakota Legislative Research Council. They can contact legislators that sit on the committee. On the South Dakota LRC website, you will find the Interim Mental Health Access Task Force, who's a part of it, is listed there. All of our meetings, all of our documents that we will be considering will be posted to that website.
Right. Full audio, too, so you can listen to everything. Senator Soholt, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for bringing this incredible subject to the South Dakota people. And we would encourage people to get in touch as they have passion about this subject. Thank you for having me.